This morning, worship was so, worship is still so amazing. I don't know if you guys sense God, but he's so here. He's just so, struggling to get my words here, but this morning, as we were worshiping and all these words came, I just thought to myself, yes, God, you so love us. You know, you so want to speak to us, your heart and your mind. You know, do you guys sense that God just speaks the whole time to us? You know, he wants us to know his heart, wants us to understand where he is and where he's going, and he doesn't want to leave any of us in the dark about his heart. And I just want you to be encouraged by that. And if you receive words or whatever, just take a step and just come. And we won't judge you if it's small or big. Doesn't matter. It's, we celebrate the fact that we can hear God's voice. And we are all encouraged by that. But this morning, I just, as this word came of abundance, I just want to encourage us by the fact that I just saw a picture of, you know, we all know Father Christmas, and we know it's not real, but, you know, dreams and visions aren't always real. They live in the spiritual realm. You know, there's no laws of physics in dreams. But I just saw that God, like that figure, I just sense him that he's on his way to us in a way that he's, I saw him packing his bags. I'm seeing him like with his bag, and he's rushing in presence. And he's stuffing his bag because he wants to come us and shower us with gifts and with presence. He wants to pour into your life today, I believe, such abundance that you can't contain it. And God, as your Father, want to give you like this bag of sweeties and just celebrate you. So this morning, as I'm preaching, I ask you to open your heart for God to really receive from him as he wants to shower us with more than what we can actually contain or hold. Amen? Oh, anybody hungry for that? I can take some more of God. Amen? There's never enough, and we're so thankful for what he's done. But this morning, I want to start off by doing my tradition. I always do to share with you some humor. So just relax. If you're a visitor, my name is Yaku. Just enjoy yourself with us. The bathrooms are that side if you need to go to the bathroom. But I just want to read you a little story I got in this week as well, which is encouraging, funny, so just enjoy this. One day, an old man who has been a retired farmer for a long time, became very bored with himself and decided to open a medical clinic. Who of you are bored in Hermanus? Who are you retired? Maybe this is God's plan for your life. This old man began, he went and he put up a sign outside his house and said, Dr. Watson's clinic, your treatment for 500 rand. If you're not cured, you'll get back 1,000 rand. That's on the sign. Dr. Watson's clinic. Get your treatment for 500 rand. If you're not cured, you'll get 1,000 rand back. Now, Dr. Young, who was a real doctor, was positive this old guy didn't know anything about medicine and thought it would be a great opportunity to make an easy 1,000 rand. Won't you agree? Are there any doctors in the house? Just want to ask. Don't get this plan from me. So Dr. Young went to Dr. Watson's clinic, and this is what happened. Dr. Young, the real doctor, remember, walks in and said, Dr. Watson, I have lost all my taste in my mouth. Can you please help me? Dr. Watson turned to his nurse and said, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops on Dr. Young's tongue. After a while, he screamed out, yah, that's gasoline. Dr. Watson responded, congratulations, you have got your taste back. That will be 500 rand. Dr. Young leaves the clinic angry, but comes back after a few days to figure out how to recover his money back. Like a good businessman, eh? He's bored. He wants to figure out these things. He walks in and said, Dr. Watson, I've lost all my memory. I cannot remember anything. Dr. Watson turned again to his nurse and said, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops on the patient's mouth. Dr. Young reacts, no. That would be gasoline. Dr. Watson said, congratulations, you've got your memory back. That will be 500 rand. By now, Dr. Young was furious. He's lost 1,000 rand. He leaves angry, but in a few days, he's back with vengeance. He says, Dr. Watson, my eyes, I cannot see anything. They've become very weak. I can hardly see anything anymore. Dr. Watson responds, well, I don't have any medicine for that. Here is your 1,000 rand back. Dr. Young suddenly took the money and counted. He said, hey, this is only 500 rand. Congratulations, you've got your vision back. That will be 500 Rand. Amen. Well, I thought that was quite funny when I read it, shared with you. So no Dr. Watson's here among us, please. We are looking for honest doctors to give us a worth penny. But this morning, church, I want to just, I hope as quickly, just talk to us about our need for the power of God in our lives. And I really think for us as a church, this is key for where we are and what God wants to do through us and where he wants to take us as a family. Because the one thing I've realized is that we cannot do anything without God's power. Who can say amen? We cannot become anything that God, we cannot do what God has called us to do. And we cannot become what God wants us to become without the power of God. And I was thinking this week, you know, thinking of the story of Moses with Pharaoh, you know, that is a story of the power of God to me in such a magnitude. The guy, you know, was fearful, ran away from Pharaoh, looked after his father-in-law's animals, and then God meets him in the burning bush and said, listen here, my son, you're going back to free my people. And Moses said, listen here, wie gaan ek sê gaan kom? He said, no, tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am sent you. But God was wise, and he realized that, listen, his name is not going to be enough to free his people from Pharaoh. So he said, listen, yeah, I'm going to send you my power with you. And obviously, we know the story. He got Aaron there, and Aaron did all the magic tricks and all the powerful tricks. And at the end, Pharaoh let the people of God go. And the same for us. We won't be able to stand and do what God has called us to do without the power of God. We need the supernatural. We need the God encounters in our lives to be able to do what God has called us. Life is not easy. And things are going to be thrown at us. So we will need to stand and be rooted in strength from on high to do what God has called us to do. Now, the reason why I'm so passionate about this, and probably the reason why I'm here this morning, is my life has been forever changed by the power of God. I remember when I was 18 years old, and just my story, I was 18 years old. I just got saved in matric, and my life was a mess. You know, my parents divorced. You know, I wasn't a good guy. You know, I was a big sinner. But God came and God rescued me through his grace. And for 3 years, I was trying to live this Christian life, you know. And if I can give you one word, my life was like a roller coaster ride. You know, I was some days on highs, like this morning in church, we worship. It was like so awesome. But come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was like so struggling. I was down in the dumps. Don't know which side is top and which side is bottom. If God is real, if God is not real. You know, my folks persecuted me for my faith. My friends, all my friends in my matric year turned upon me. I went into varsity all alone. And the long and the short is, I was a mess, even though I got born again, even though I knew God, even though I experienced his touch and he's forgiven all my sins. And I remember, you know, my sister in that time of my life was quite instrumental, and she was always there praying for me. She's younger than me, but such a saint, those of you who know her, but she's been just inviting me all along, and I had a big shoulder injury with sports, playing for Martis Rugby. And, you know, God used all these things to get me back just outside of the social hub of varsity. I don't know if you guys can identify with that, but it's quite a wormhole to pull you in, away from the things of God. And God used just my injury and all that to get me out of this place, to come to a place of rest and recovery. And in that time, my sister came along, and she invited me just to join her to go to church. So I thought to myself, yeah, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. And the long and the short, I made a recommitment to God then. It was amazing. And I just had all these memories of how it was when I was matric and God's presence and his beauty and all that. And then one Sunday, I thought to myself, hey, I took the first step to go to the Strand Church. Let me go along to the second one in Stellenbosch in that time. So I went there, and God had an appointment with me that morning. Like, I believe he's got an appointment with so many of you year. And I sat there right at the back, and I was still in my slingshot operation. I was just hiding and listening to what the pastor was saying. And in the middle of that sermon, the pastor stopped and he's listening. I cannot continue. I must share something. And he shared just some things for other people. But then he just called out. He just called me out and said, listen, your God is calling you and all this and that. And you need the Holy Spirit in your life, and you need a lot of things. And I said, whoa, my hat, and I went forward, and they took me into a little room. And if you're here, we're also going to take you into a little room and do things. No, I'm joking. We're not going to take you into a little room. So they took me after the service and just asked my, answered my questions, you know, who am I and all my stories. So I told them, listen, you guys, I'm a mess. You know, I just went through this huge injury. You know, I don't know if God will anymore, but I gave my life to him a few months ago. And I need something to root me. I need power, man. I can't go up and do this. It's, you know, I can't doubt all the time. I can't walk in unbelief, in fear. I need to be settled on the inside. So they explained to me a few things, and then we start praying. And they prayed to me that morning for the infilling of the Holy, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if I can take you back more than 20 years now, it felt to me in my heart that everything changed that morning. It felt to me like, I don't know if you know the story in Acts chapter 9 or 8 or 9, where Paul said after he met the Lord that scales fell off his eyes. It was exactly the same. It was as if something was pulled off my body or my head, and I just saw the whole world differently. When I took the scriptures, it was like, whoa, I've never read that before. It was like a new world, like PlayStation coming, HD, PlayStation. All these funny, I was like, whoa, God. And when people talk around me and they gossip and they swear, it was like, I can't listen to that. I was so sensitive, but I was so empowered. And obviously through that, I started to speak in tongues, I started praying in tongues, and I had one or two words, and it was fun, I was childlike, I played with it, and now many years along, God has grown that as well as a wonderful gift in my life. But I remember after that, worship was so sweet. Worship was so different. I heard God's voice in a different way. It was, my whole life changed. And I never looked back, and funny enough, I think it was a week or two after that, I was like, God, now what happened to me? I know, and I figure out, and it was just so exciting. It's like this new medicine. It's like this new steroids I'm on. And I just told me, pray, pray, pray. And I pray, and I was just bubbling. You know, and funny enough, I had boldness. Listen to this, guys. I had boldness for the first time. I could never speak in front of people at school. Now I'm like, God, I'm preaching. I'm like, God, can only be you. It is, everything changed, God. Yes, I'm thankful for my day of salvation, but I'm so thankful for the day I met the Holy Spirit. The day God filled me with Himself, and my whole life changed. And as I was asking questions, I came upon the scripture. Acts chapter 1, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I thought to myself, that's the answer I'm looking for. So the Holy Spirit gives me power. And you will be my witnesses, telling people everywhere about me. And everything started to make sense to me. Like, listen, you, God, that's what happened. That's what tongues is. That's what the power of God is. And this word in the Greek is the word dunamis, from where we get our English word dynamite. So for me, the Holy Spirit is the dynamite of heaven in our lives. We cannot live without Him. Amen. And then Paul also said something interesting in Romans chapter 1. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentiles. Say with me, the gospel of Jesus is the power of God. But I realized in my life that you cannot separate the gospel from power. It's all in the same thing. And I've tasted it in my life, and I said, listen, God, this is amazing. And I thought to myself, listen here, if you take the power out of the gospel, you're only left with gosh. Well, what is that? And the power is gone. That was just a joke, but it just sounds nice to say. What is gosh? It's gossip. With others, our lives are just like a flat tire. We gossip and do things we mustn't do. But with the power, what becomes the gospel? It becomes the power of God in our lives. Amen? And that to me is exciting. But the reason I'm going to talk to you about this is because I'm concerned when I look at the church, and I'm talking about the gospel of power, and I'm talking about God's Holy Spirit, I'm concerned when I look at many Christians and many churches that has become very good at stripping the gospel from its power. I'm concerned if I look at the modern-day Western church and how we do church and how we've reduced the gospel to just being nice stories, nice entertainment, and big hype, but there's no power. And we've become so good at, for example, the story of Easter. We've done it last week. We've become so good to tell ourselves these stories, but reduce it to nothing, and we revisit them every year, but we leave after that as if nothing happened in the gospel or in our lives. Amen?
And guys, that is a scary ground to walk on with God. A very scary place. And we easily forget that Easter and the resurrection of Christ was actually prophesying and reminding us of the power that God has for us available. And God said that this morning over and over again, there's abundance in my house, there's abundance, and God wants to meet every one of you like He met me and shower us with His grace, shower us with His power this morning so we can live the life He's called us to. We cannot reduce the gospel to only stories. Even though there are many stories in it, it is still the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I've been thinking as I'm preparing, I'm really sick and tired of charismatic religion. My heart burns for God to meet us. My heart burns for us to see the kingdom come in power and God's kingdom being established among us, in our families, with our children, in this town. What is the use coming here and being entertained and going home and not being changed? We cannot come here and do that. This is not the church for you then. We want to see God come and change our lives and flip people around and set them up for greatness and glory. We need to be hungry. We need to push into God and say, God, we're not satisfied with this religion we're seeing. People must say it's a story, but we say, no, God is the power of God. We're going to strive for that. Amen? But funny enough, thank you. But funny enough, I found out in this week that Paul had similar issues in his ministry. The ones we're facing where we're seeing churches and movements and Christians just going on with their lives, reducing the gospel to nothing and just making it a nice story and feeling good about ourselves. Paul has similar issues. And one of the where people try to come in and reduce the gospel to nice word and to impress people with that, with wisdom and eloquence of speech. And he said, listen here, I don't do that. I come so that your faith may be established in the power of God. And especially in the book of Corinthians, and you must please read 1st and 2nd Corinthians to get the whole picture. And especially in 2nd Corinthians, he deals with people that came into the church that tried to win them over away from Paul and his leadership. And they told him, listen here, Paul is a has-been. Paul is old school. We are now your new fathers. We are now your new leaders. And this is what Paul wrote to them about this issue of reducing the gospel to story. He said, listen here in verse 14 of 4th of Corinthians 4, he says, I'm not writing these things to shame you. Look, he's talking to a church he has planted with Barnabas. So these people are very, very dear to him. He says, I wrote to you because I want to warn you. Listen to that. As my beloved children. For even though I had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the gospel to you. So I urge you to imitate me. Now that sentence to many modern Christians is offensive. How can I follow as a leader? But I'm going to tell you, you have to have a leader. You need to follow your leader as he follows Christ. You can have many teachers, but you only have one father. It's important that we as a church find out who our fathers is, so we can follow them and learn from them and imitate their lifestyle. Amen? We need spiritual heroes. Amen? So Paul says, verse 17, that is why I sent Timothy. Why does he send Timothy? So that they can remind them of how Paul's life was, because Paul was Timothy's 2IB. He was his son in the faith. My beloved Timothy and faithful child in the Lord, he will remind you of what? Of how I followed Christ, just as I teach in all the churches everywhere. Some of you have become arrogant, thinking I will not visit you again, but I will come and soon if the Lord lets me. Listen to this, verse 19, and then I will find out whether these arrogant people just have pretentious speeches or whether they really have God's power. For the kingdom of God is not in a lot of talk, it's living by the power of God. Verse 19 says, I will find out if these arrogant people only have speeches or they really have God's power. For the kingdom is not just in talk, but it's living by God's power. Now what Paul is saying here, in short, is, he said, listen here, my beloved children, I want to warn you, something is happening there which I'm picking up. Timothy actually told me about this. When I come there, and find these people that claims to be your new father. I'm not going to look at their doctrine and what they say, first of all. I'm going to find out if they have God's power within them. Because the power of God is actually the gospel of God. And that to me is very interesting. That doesn't go first of all for doctrine and issues. It goes for, listen here, I'm going to find out if these people actually have the power. Because the kingdom of God is not in talk only, but in power. Interesting, eh? Now, many people will react to this because they'll say, Jacob, but how can you base your relationship with God only on experience. Now, that is true. But I want to ask you, if you read only the Bible and you never have experience with God, that is just called religion. We cannot have only experience with God. But let me tell you, you cannot just read the Bible and not experience God. That is called religion. And what is religion? It's form without power. And Paul warned us against that. And he's warning his church again here. Listen here. Be aware of form without power, because the kingdom is in power. Amen? I heard this quote, somebody once said that religion happens when the spirit leaves the room. Religion happens when the spirit leaves the room. And if reading the Bible doesn't lead you into an encounter with God, then what is the purpose? If reading the Bible doesn't lead you into an encounter with God, what is the purpose? You see, our goal isn't just to learn more about the Bible. Our goal is to get to know the author of the Bible. Amen? Studying this is not the end in itself. It's to get the author of who inspired this. That's the goal of it. To get to know his heart. Do you know why? Because if knowing the Bible only got you into relationship with God, then the Pharisees would have rocked the world. Amen? They knew the law. They knew every little dot and comma and point. But yet, they missed the Messiah when he stood in front of them. It is not about that law and knowing every little detail about it. Listen to me. I believe in reading the Bible. I'm trying to do it every day of my life as hard as I can. I'm pursuing God and reading His scriptures. This is the foundation of everything that I believe. And if I have experiences that are anti the Bible, it is wrong. Then I must walk away from that. But if only reading the Bible is the means in itself, then I'm missing the whole point of it. Getting to know the author of the Word of God. It is like reading the owner's manual of a car and never driving it. We go on about, the manual is amazing. It talks about red paint and blue paint and these are the throttles, but we never drive the actual car. Our goal is not to read the manual, but to drive the car of life. Amen? That is the purpose of it. We cannot reduce the gospel to only words. It is the power of God unto salvation. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1. He says, we know, dear brothers and sisters, again he's talking to his church there, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own children. Verse 5 especially, for when we brought the good news to you, it was not only with words, but with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. Paul just reiterates that it is the Word and the Spirit that equals truth. It is not only the Word, it's the Word and the Spirit equals truth. And we cannot separate the two anymore. Because either then we will sit with heresy on the one side, or we'll sit with religion on the other side. Which one do we want? Neither. We must pursue both. We must trust God for both in our lives. Otherwise we're going to become modern day Pharisees that know a lot, but with no power. And Paul said clearly, the kingdom of God is not only in talk, but in power. You must trust the Lord this morning for perfect balance in that. Amen? Because that is the kingdom in glory, in power, that Jesus left us with. And that is the way Jesus taught. Look at the Gospels. Jesus took a story. He taught his disciples. And then what did he do? He said, okay, boys, that's enough teaching. We need some power. So he did the miracles. He explained to them what he just taught about. That's the way we must do gospel. That's the way you need to do life. You cannot just do the one and not the other. That is the essence of this morning. Now look at Mark 16 and what Jesus takes this thought further. He says, and then he told his disciples, this is now look after the resurrection. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went, listen to this, everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked with him, confirming what he said by miraculous signs. Isn't it an awesome piece of scripture? But Mark took this whole thought further and he said, listen here, first of all, these are the words of Jesus. He says, those who are saved and baptized, those who believe and baptized are saved. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do we really believe? Because judge it on, are the signs following us? Are they accompanying your life? Maybe there needs to be some resettlement this morning. I don't know what's the word. Reprogramming this morning in your heart. Between you and the Lord. You say, Jesus didn't say these signs only follow the first century Christians. Didn't say they only follow the 12 apostles. No, he says, these signs follow those who believe in me. Amen? You see, we cannot separate the signs and wonders from the gospel. It is all part of it. Like the gospel is the power of God, so signs and wonders are part of the gospel. It's all into one. It's all one thing. You see, if you come into the kingdom and you have anything wrong today in your life, God can fix it. Because the gospel is power. Amen? For instance, if you are this morning sick, what does the gospel say? Jesus heals the sick. This morning, if you are maybe demonized, what does the gospel say? Jesus heals demonized people. Amen? If you this morning are maybe blind, what does the gospel say? Jesus heals the blind. Or if you are maybe lame this morning, what does the gospel say? Jesus heals the lame. Doesn't matter what issue you have this morning, the gospel doesn't only have the philosophy to heal, it's got also the power to heal. Amen? It's the power of God unto salvation. Doesn't matter what your issue is, the gospel has got the answer. Otherwise, why do we serve God? If it's not all-powerful, all-living, all-wonderful being. That is so important. We cannot separate signs and wonders from the gospel. It's all part of it. Now, John also took this same message and he reworded it. Just listen to this. In John 14, he says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Then we'll be content. Jesus said, you've been with me all this time, Philip, 3 years, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you say, where is the Father? Just stop there. Jesus is God. If you look at Jesus, you are seeing God. His example is example of God. We don't have to look out for visitations and angels and stuff. That is it. Christ has shown us the Father. He's the model. He's perfect theology. What he does is what we can do. Amen? Verse 10, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't my words. I don't just make them up out of my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. That's beautiful. Believe me, I am in my Father and the Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe me, believe what you see, these works. And I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do these same works I've done. Even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Amen. Awesome piece of scripture. Amen. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples, say, boys, if you don't believe my message, which I preach to you, it may be radical. I'm talking about drinking blood and eating flesh. You're all running away. Amen. If you can't believe my message, then please look at my works. Which I'm doing, because my works are the works of the Father who sent me. These miracles I'm doing, not my works, it's God's works. So believe in the miracles I'm doing if you can't believe my message. Amen? And second of all, he said, listen, if you really believe in me, then you will go and even do greater works than I'm doing. In verse 12. That is amazing promises. So God is saying, listen, if you can't figure out my word, then look at my works. So God is saying, listen, to look at the works is actually fine. To follow experience is actually fine. Don't worry about it. And the point he's making is here, we cannot separate the power of God from the person of God. Don't believe my word, believe what I am doing by works. We cannot separate the power of God from the person of God. Let me explain it this way. How many of you here have received Jesus in your life? Okay, cool. We're going to have a nice altar call afterwards. Many of us have received Jesus, eh? Now, who of you know that there is not only one Jesus in this world? Go to India, they worship Jesus. He's not the Jesus of the Bible. There are more than one Jesus in this world. There is another Jesus. He is a religious Jesus. And he has got all the philosophies in the world, but he's got no ability to do and change anything. Wow. And then there's the real Jesus. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the anointed one. He is the Son of God, and he's got all power to do and to change anything in anybody's life at any time. Mario this morning spoke about the Salines. God can suddenly intervene and change our whole lives. Amen? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not the Jesus, the religious one. And therefore, guys, it is incongruent for us as believers to say that Jesus Christ lives in me and then we don't have any power to do anything. You see, it is shocking to me how many Christians confess that Jesus Christ lives in them, but they live with no power and they live defeated by the devil, depressed, moaning and groaning every day. But Jesus Christ lives in me. It's incongruent. It doesn't add up. It's not good maths. If the all-powerful one lives in us, where's the power to just overcome a little demon like that? And I want to submit to you, maybe as a church, we have separated the power of God from the person of God through our religion, our traditions, our lifestyle. And this can go on and on and on and on and on. Amen? Lies, guys, we must take a step back and look at ourselves and say, God, have I made the word of God a no effect through my traditions? I brought up through my parents' house or through my university years or whatever? Have I allowed the word of God to give me a new culture, a new tradition of kingdom living? Which is in word and in power? Have I allowed my lifestyle to influence the power of God so much that I'm just floating? We've separated the person from the power. And when I say Jesus Christ lives in me, I need to expect and see God confirming His word with signs and wonders through my life. That's the basis the disciples preached. Amen? That is so, so, so important. Because Jesus said, if you believe in me, and all of us do, He said, when you believe in me, this is the promise. You will, not maybe, you will do greater works than I do. Amen? That is a promise for your life. There's something to grow in. There's something to pray about. And say, God, you said, and I will, God. So I'm trusting you for this in my life. Amen? Because guys, the world at this moment, let me tell you, the world is in desperate need. There are sicknesses and situations they cannot solve. And you know what? They are not coming to the church for the solutions. They're going to psychics, and they're going to doctors, and they're going to witchcraft, and everywhere except the church. Nobody phones us to pray for them about this miracle that must happen, because they've seen the church is powerless. We've embraced the gospel without power. And God wants to restore that with us, in Hermanus. Amen? Did they first phone us and listen, yeah, I've heard this, that God, Jesus Christ, the all-powerful one, you know him, please come and pray for my child to raise him from the dead. Why not? Why not? That things I declare is going to happen in Hermanus through us as a body. Amen? That's what God wants to see. Because he said, we will do greater things. We will do greater things. Amen? So quickly, and I want to finish with this. I just want to share with you four short things that I want to help you with, how we can walk in the power of God. The first thing that I've realize in my own life, which is so crucial, and write this down, is you need to be motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13 say, if I could speak all the language of earth and of angels, but I don't love others, I would only be like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, or I can preach very well, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possess all the knowledge in the world, and if I have such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor and sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would not grant me anything. Just a note here. Guys, this is squeezed into the power chapters of Corinthians 12 and 4. We speak about the gifts, the power of God flowing through our lives. And Paul is saying, listen here, love must be the motivation if we want to walk in the power. Amen? Chapter 14 says, pursue love and desire the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. First of all, church, be motivated by love. Love, 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 love. Then the power will flow. 1 Corinthians 16 in Amplified says, listen to this. Let everything you do be done in love. True love to God and man as inspired by God's love for us. This gives both sides. Our love for God and our love for people. So beautiful. Guys, in other words, love must be the motivation of everything we do, because without it, power will corrupt us. Power will lead to pride. That's not God's heart. He wants us to be motivated by love, so our love and our power can be genuine, can be authentic in a sense. Love actually for me is the greatest manifestation of power. Do you know that? Do you know what? It was love that took Jesus to the cross and defeated all our sins and all our guilt. It was love that helped him to be obedient to the Father to the point of death. Love is the greatest manifestation of God's power. And that is so important. That is the first thing we must grow in as a church. You see, I wrote down here, it's important that our love for God must always be bigger than our love for what God can do through us. That's so important because people are power hungry, I tell you. We run after stuff and things and we forget about that is only a side effect of my awesome intimate relationship with God the Father himself. You see, and a life of power is a life of abiding in Christ. That's what it's all about. An apple tree doesn't squeeze out apples. He is just abiding in himself. In the wind and in the rain and drawing up nutrients on the soil. And then, boop, boop, all the apples comes. Amen? A life of power is found in abiding in Christ. You are just so in awe with God's love for you and what he's done for you and his plans and all that, that these things will happen as you abide. Abiding speaks of you pursuing Christ with all that you have because he's captured your heart. You've fallen in love with him all over again. Amen? That is so important. Abiding speaks of intimacy. It speaks of being hungry for more. That is, God, I'm so little and the universe is so big, God. There's so much more for me to grow into and to understand. Amen? If you've seen lately these movies, the Martian, you see how big the universe is. God is not small. There's so much adventure in God. Amen? So much new things we can see and understand. And God has placed all of that in us in Christ. Wow. It's amazing. It is amazing. So abiding in Christ is so important. Second of all, to walk in power means we must always move from a place of love towards other people. Paul said, it is the love of God that compels me. Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the lost sheep. That is our goal when we want to minister to people. It is love. We are compelled. Afrikaans, ons is gedring deur God se liefde. Ons kan nie help nie. Ek moet dit doen want God se liefde dring my hart. And the reason love is so important, guys, is because people are not our power projects. People are not our demonstrations of power. Because people are doing that in church and people are getting hurt and offended out of the church and never want to come back. People are not our projects. They are God's children. They're made in the image and likeness of God. Amen? We need to love them like that. So being filled with love is essential to walk in the power of God. The second key I want to throw at you, how to walk in power, which has helped me so much, is to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I can't overstress this, but in John 5 and in John 12, Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father is doing. This is so important, guys. Jesus says, listen here, I only say what I hear, and I only do what I see the Father is doing. And this to me means that even though Jesus was 100% God, he lived his earthly life as a man dependent on the Holy Spirit. Just think of that for 1 second. God Almighty, in Christ, in human flesh, walking the streets of Jerusalem. He can do anything. He can, like that, and there's a million angels on his right side. He didn't do any of his godly given power. Philippians 2 says he's laid down his divine attributes, and he became a servant. He became nothing. He took on the form of flesh, and every step he took, he says, Father, is that you? Yes, my son, go ahead, heal. He did nothing. He said, Father, must I say that? Yes, say that. Storm be still in Jesus' name. Jesus lived the life of dependency on the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, for me, Yaku, that excites me. That blows my mind. That makes the Christian life so much more exciting. Amen? If I can follow the example of Christ. It just opens up a new world to me. I said, Jesus, if you've done that, I can also try and do that. Amen? But just leaning into the Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, is that you? Yes, my son, go ahead. Or wait, no, not now, tomorrow, etc. And that blows my mind. But the question for us as a church is, guys, if Jesus so needed the Holy Spirit for his mission, how much does each one of us not need the Holy Spirit for God's plan for your life? In your work, at home, whatever you're doing, how much more don't we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what God has called us to do? We cannot do it without him. Amen? It's so essential. It is vital that we follow Christ's example in dependence on the Holy Spirit. The third one I'm going to leave with you, I'm almost done, is to walk in power. The first one is love. It must be love. must be dependent on the Spirit. The third one is, you must learn to add risk to your faith. You must learn to add risk to your faith. Now, first of all, if you want to plan to walk in power, you must obviously, first of all, be full of faith. Faith in God's ability, not yours ability. That speaks of humility before God. You must have a heart. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. You need to be convicted that God is good and God wants to touch and heal people. Amen? That is the bottom line of this, of everything, that you must be full of faith and a conviction that God wants to touch and save this world. Romans says, one says, we said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. You see, faith in Christ is essential in making the gospel the power of God. For the world is foolishness. For the world is rubbish. For the world, they are laughing at our stories. But it's time that our stories becomes the power of God again. Amen? That is so important. You see, and for me, it's very interesting that Scripture pulls out these gems and gives us keys that Scripture told us that the one thing that limited Jesus' power to do miracles was what? Unbelief. It is amazing that in these, it just pops out. Unbelief, guys. Unbelief says, listen, Jesus was there to heal. He couldn't do anything because of the unbelief of the people. His own town said, listen, who are you, man? You are not Jesus Christ. You are just Jesus, the son of Joseph. They reduced him. You see, they've reduced the truth into a nice story. We cannot do that. So, you see, fear and unbelief is the one thing that will keep you from moving in the Spirit. You cannot allow that to grow anyone, anytime in your heart. Those are your enemies. You need to uproot them and start to be full of faith and power. Somebody once said, the Holy Spirit is imprisoned in unbelieving believers. And that is so true. The Holy Spirit is imprisoned in unbelieving believers. Guys, the Spirit of God doesn't want to stay here and sleep. He wants to get out of you. He wants to touch the world around you. And fear and unbelief will keep him trapped, imprisoned in your heart. And that's not God's plan for any of our lives. Second of all, with faith, he says, John Wimber once said that faith is spelled risk, R-I-S-K. Faith, or I will say faith requires risk. And taking a risk means basically be putting our faith into action. Now James, the book of James is so hard on this. He says, like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without actions is dead. And I want to propose to you, a lot of the church are dead because our faith is not in action. We hear the nice story, but the action part, the power part, the spirit part is missing in our midst. We want to mix this too. We must make a nice cocktail out of this and see the bubbles flowing. Amen? Life must come from us. It is where we face our fears, not denying our fears, and we trust in God by stepping out into obedience. You see, I always say to people, besides teachers, there's a chicken line in all of our lives. Chicken line is that abstract point where you can't go further than that. You like stop in your own ability. You're like, I'm too afraid, I can't. But God's will and calling for life is on the other side of the chicken line. The miraculous lies on the other side. As you say, God, I'm trusting you, and you're stepping over the chicken line, and you're dying 1,000 days, then God comes and he catches you. It's like Peter on the boat. You know, Peter had to step out of the boat to experience the miracle. In the boat, he was comfortable. In the boat, he was safe. In the boat, he had all these arguments in his head about, can it work? Might it work? Is God calling me? But Christ called him, and he stepped. The miracle happened. Guys, so many of the breakthroughs in your lives are lying on the other side of the risk you need to take. What if it's failed? At least you've tried. At least you walked in faith, and by faith, we please God. Amen? Come on, we need to add risk to our faith. We need to put our faith in action. We cannot sit any longer. This world is going to hell, and we need to go and grab them from the flames of hell. So taking risk is not an act on our side to manipulate God at any point. But rather, taking a risk is our bold attempt at taking God at his word and trusting him that he will do what he says he will do. Risk is taking God at his word and say, God, you said, therefore I will do. God, you said, I will lay my hands and I will get healed. I do that, God, and I trust you in that. And the big thing is leave the rest up to God. He is God. He can figure out the results. Amen? Adding risk is so important. So important. And I want to tell you today, guys, many of us here are already filled with those. I felt in my heart that this is maybe the biggest thing I want to leave with us today. the area where you're going to grow in as a Christian, which is maybe a mature Christian, is this part. God wants you to start taking risks. He wants you to start stepping out. That is the one thing that is going to grow your faith, because risk is key to walking in power. Nothing is going to happen in the boat. You'll need to get out. Nothing is going to happen in the boat. You'll need to get out. Amen? You'll need to get out. Whatever your circumstance determines, you'll need to go out. Step out. So I'm going to encourage us. Don't let fear rob you of your God-given opportunities. Break your chicken line and go for it, because risk opens the door to great adventures in God. I tell you, when you go with your... I'm not a sightseeing guy. Maybe I don't have the money to do it. I don't know. But you know, if you drive in country and you want to see the great places, they tell you, go on that trail there. And you go up and you walk that. But if you want to see the best sights, you need to go off trail. Isn't that? Or the hikers in the mountains. The best views are on places where nobody else was. And that's the same with God and faith in Christ. You need to go off trail to be able to experience the wonders of God and who He is. Amen? That is so important. And so in conclusion, I want to share with you my last point. And that is, to walk in power, probably the bottom line of it all. To walk in power is you need to be baptized in power. That is just how it is. You cannot walk in power without the empowerment of the Spirit. And Jesus, once again, is our example. Jesus did for 30 years nothing. And He came to His baptism. And John said, listen here, I saw the dove come upon Him and the Spirit remaining or resting upon Him. That was Jesus, obviously water baptism. But in the same way, the Holy Spirit came and empowered Christ to live the life He did as the Son of Man, not the Son of God. You guys understand that? I just went through that just now. Luke chapter 4 says, listen, after that, He went into the wilderness in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And He went and He defeated Satan and all the temptations. And then in verse 14, He said something amazing. He said, now Jesus went in the power of the Spirit and did all this miraculous signs and wonders. There was like an increase in His life. Every time He did something, God just increased it. And for us, that's our example. We need to have that. Like I said earlier, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of God. He is the dunamis of heaven. Without Him, the life, Christian life, is quite boring, I would say. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul gives us, or Luke gives us, a beautiful example. He says here in verse 1, he says, listen to the story. Maybe you haven't heard this, but he says, while Apollos, this person's name, was at Corinth, Paul was traveling through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus. On the coast, we found several believers. He asked him, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He said, no. They replied, we haven't even heard there is an Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you receive? They asked. And they replied, this is the baptism of John. Suppose, oh yeah. John's baptism called for repentance from sin. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And verse 5 says, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. I want to just share with you two or three thoughts. And can the band come up? I forgot to ask that. But the first thing I want you to see here is that Paul came to believers. Paul didn't come to unbelievers. The Bible says he met some believers on his way to Corinth. Now that is important, guys, because in order for you to receive the baptism of the Spirit, you need to first of all be born of the Spirit. Amen? You first need to be a child of God to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is so important. Okay? And secondly, the scripture shows us that you can be a Christian without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says something. He said, listen here, Paul says, he came to believers and he asked him, did you receive the Holy Spirit? They said, no, what is that? We never heard about that. So you can be a Christian and not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember my story, which I told you? For 2 or 3 years, I was walking as a child of God, going to heaven, having eternal life. I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have any power. I was like a roller coaster, up and down, very uncertain, very unsure, very unstable, everything. Till the day that God said, no, my son, now I'm going to give you power to live the life that I lived. To do the greater works which I've called you to do in John chapter 4. John chapter 14. So that if you're a Christian like that this morning and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is the only thing you still need. You need a second encounter with God's Holy Spirit. is all full of scripture. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 10. Yeah, Acts chapter 10 is everywhere the disciples had an encounter with the Spirit of God. And for the church today, we need that same encounter. Amen? We need to switch on the power this morning again. And the only thing you have to do, if that's you today, the only thing is just to ask your Heavenly Father. There's no formulas, there's no rituals, there's no traditions, it's just pure faith in a good God. Like this morning we said, Father Christmas wants to come in, he's getting all these gifts in his bag. God's bag is full of presents. And this morning, the number one he wants to give you is his Holy Spirit. Because he's seeing your struggle, he's seeing your situation, he knows your cry, he knows your prayer, and he wants to give you power to overcome the thing you're struggling in. The mud you are walking in. The river, like the picture, the river we're going, the river you're going through. God washing all the stuff away, and God wants to cleanse you by putting you in the river, putting you in his Spirit, so you can experience abundant life. And then, I haven't forgot about all of us who are walking with the Lord. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You are faithful in God. I want to tell you guys, it's so important that you stay full of the Spirit. Why is that important? Because there are people in here and there's people out there that needs a touch of heaven. We need to remain full because there's people here that are longing for you to meet them. They need an encounter with the living God, the Christ in you they want to encounter. They need him. They're crying out for him. And that's why we as Christians need to be full of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to those who are already full. You need to be fuller this morning. Amen? Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Guys, there are only one baptism in the Spirit, but there are multiple infillings. There are multiple infillings for you. And this morning, I trust in my heart that God wants to give every one of us a fresh upgrade. He wants to top you up again. And I like what the Message Bible says. It says, listen to this, say, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Listen to this. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of Him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Guys, let's drink this morning of the Spirit. Amen? Let's open our hearts and say, God, I want to fill me again, God. And you know why is it important that we are filled again? We are human. We leak. Ons mors 'n bietjie. Oops, daar gebeur 'n lewe. Somebody offends me, I don't forgive, I leak. I'm not sinless. I'm working out my salvation. We are leaking, and God wants to keep you full. So let's drink. Let's take huge draughts this morning of the Spirit. He is here to fill you, amen? He is here to fill us. So I want to ask you, come. Come and drink. If you're dry, come. If you're tired, come. If you're weary, come. Don't stand and watch. Put your faith in action. Let's drink, amen? Let's stand with me this morning. Let's stand. Let's come and come to the Lord with expectation. With expectation. With expectation. This morning I want to read you this scripture. Just, we all know the story in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. But then about 3, 4, 5 years later, the disciples were persecuted. And they prayed to God. Like this morning, maybe you're not persecuted, but we are here. We're praying to God. God, come and we need you, God. And it says here, in verse 29, it says, and now, O Lord, hear these threats. Give your servant great boldness in preaching. Send your healing power and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through your name of your servant Jesus Christ. After this prayer, the building where they were meeting was shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with power again and preached God's message with great boldness. Guys, this was the same group of people that experienced the power of God in chapter 2. Why did God do it again in chapter 4? They needed a new infilling, a new upgrade for a new appointment, for a new assignment. God is giving us a lot of assignments this morning, and we need the power to go and do that. Amen? So this morning, I feel like I need to recommission you because God wants to do extraordinary things through our lives. He wants to upgrade us. I'm sensing that many of us are idling like a car. God is saying, we're going to put it in first this morning, and we're going to go for it. So let's pray. Father, this morning, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for your glory. I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you that you've given us all things through Christ Jesus. This morning, Lord, I want to release power over your people, God. God, I want to, Lord, God, Lord, you said that when the Spirit comes upon us, we will receive power to be your witnesses, Father. The world is crying out for witnesses, Lord God. And Lord, we say, fill us again, Lord. We want to be the witnesses, Lord. Lord, I pray now that you will fill everyone here with your power, God. Fill us all with your power again, Lord God, so that people who have never been baptized will be baptized again, God. Lord, so that people who never dreamed and never saw visions will dream and see visions again, Father. Fill us again, God, that those who, God, who have never prophesied will start prophesying and say, thus is the Lord. Fill us again this morning, God. And Father, I pray, God, may an army of your people arise from this place to go and destroy the works of Satan, God, through the power of the Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I'm morning, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that you will saturate us with your love, God. Lord, you say, God, in Ephesians 3, Lord God, may we experience the love of God. And through that be filled with the fullness of God, Lord. I pray for everybody here, Lord God, Lord, to experience the height, the length, the width, the depth of your love, Lord God, which surpasses knowledge, Lord. Fill us with your love again, Lord. In Jesus' name. This morning, God, I pray, God, for us to just grow in our intimacy with you. Your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray to God, Lord, 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 that every one of us, Lord God, will hear afresh your voice, will depend afresh on you, Holy Spirit. We'll learn to abide afresh in you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, then I release, Lord God, just risk over your people, God. I release boldness, Lord. Boldness to step out of the chicken lines, God. Boldness, God, Lord, to stand before kings and queens, Lord God, and say, thus is the Lord. I'm a servant of the Most High God, and this is God's answer for your life. I release boldness and courage over your people, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. Fill us again, Lord. Every one of us, Lord God, fill us again. We need you, God. We worship you. This morning, as every eye is closed, I want to ask anybody here who has never received this infilling of the Spirit for the first time, I want you to raise your hand and come to the front. We would love to pray for you like they've prayed for me in church. Your life has got to change. You're going to encounter God in an amazing way. You cannot stand it, but you go, are there anybody like that? Just raise your hands for me. Who has never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Never. Please come. I invite you. Then I want to pray for us as believers. And I want to ask, I want you to do it yourself. Stand like this for me with your hands out and just with your eyes open, and just I want to pray for us just to be filled again. Father, we are all here in your presence, and we have heard your word, Lord, as you've done in chapter 2 of Acts, and in chapter 4 of Acts, Lord, in chapter 8, and chapter 10, and chapter 19. God, you've done it everywhere the whole time. Father, you said we must be filled with your Spirit. This morning, God, as a church, as a body, as a local community of believers, Father, we ask you this morning, God, to come and do it again. Father, to come and fill everyone here with your glory and with your Spirit. I speak a fresh upgrade over everyone here, God. I speak, God, a fresh breath of your love over everyone here, Lord God. In Jesus' name. If you can pray in tongues, just pray for me in tongues. Just pray. Just pray. Just lift your voice. Let's just pray. Let's just stir the Spirit a bit. Thank you, Lord. This is not prophecy. This is just building up ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Sira bara 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 santa bala boko sonto bosia baba. Raba sonto bolo basia. Lord, fill us, Lord. Thank you for power. Thank you for glory. Thank you for answers, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for God, for vision and for insight into things, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sara bala mo sonto boroba. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. We thank you. Thank you for healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. If anyone receives some words of knowledge, please come to the front. Share with us what God is saying. Let's keep on praying. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just feel in my heart as well right now just to pray for people I've mentioned that struggles with fear and unbelief. We want to break the thing this morning over your life. Maybe this message service, please come to the front. We want to just pray against fear because that is stealing of God's inheritance in your life. Amen? Let's just keep our eyes closed. Let's just pray. I want you to, there's coffee and tea at the back, but we're going to continue because we know God has got certain people's lives, destinies at stake here this morning. So if you want a fresh touch from heaven, come to the front. I want to put my hands upon you and pray with you and just release God's power of your life. And the leaders will be here. And so don't go. I want to urge you, don't go away. Come and receive from the Lord. He's here with his bag full of goodies, and he wants to shower you with that. So bless you. Thank you for coming. And we honor you, Lord, for what you did. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful week. But we're going to continue with worship. But we pray. If you want to be filled or just refilled or freshen up, come to the front. We would love to pray with you. Thank you.